Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, live. I am Dr. Nicole, the Book of Revelation research scientist, and I am excited to share with you about the millennial reign prophecy in the Book of Revelation today. We are live on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. You can connect with us via phone by using 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. If you have a question as you are listening today, or maybe later as you're reflecting on what was discussed today, you think of a question that you have about the Book of Revelation, please text us at 1-214-505-8719. The PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. Today, August 30th, we are talking about the millennial reign prophecy. It is our last show where we will focus on the millennial reign prophecy exclusively for 2022. Before we get to today's program, I want to invite you and encourage you to consider planning to be with us to learn about the Book of Revelation from start to finish in the 2023 calendar year. I know it's only August, but it is good to plan, and I find that it's easier to get something on your schedule when you have sufficient time and opportunity to plan for it. So I am sharing with you and every PGN listener about our 2023 calendar for the Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish program here on PGN. Next year, we will be focused on 100% of the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. We will begin in the month of January with every program focused on the seven seals prophecy. And so what we are doing is we are looking at all of the statements of prophecy, which begin in chapter 5 of the Book of Revelation and end with the new earth prophecy in chapter 22. Every month, beginning with the seven seals prophecy in January, the seven trumpets prophecy in February, the 1,260 days prophecy in March, the 666 Antichrist prophecy in April of 2023, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy in May of 2023, and in June, the earth reaped prophecy, June of 2023. What am I saying? On Sundays and every day that the Secrets Revealed program airs live on PGN, every show in that month will focus on the specific statement of prophecy with us beginning in January and ending in December of 2023, getting to each of the statements of prophecy, focusing on them for an entire month so that you have the opportunity to learn by repetition. In other words, the Book of Revelation is a very complex, sophisticated, and exciting book. And these statements of prophecy have a lot of information. But when you hear a singular statement of prophecy discussed in different ways with different insights again and again, it helps you to not only understand the information, but to have it go from your short-term memory to your long-term memory, and importantly, you have the ability to retrieve the information on demand at will when it is successfully encoded. So how do you encode information in your brain? It's one thing to hear something one time and to understand it, but later when you want to recall that information, when you want to utilize it, when you want to consider it, reflect on it, do you have the ability to do that? And the primary way that we learn and we have the ability to successfully retrieve information from our long-term memory is through repetition. Researchers suggest that we need seven touches with information in order to be able to do that. Typically, this program, and so far, every Sunday and every Tuesday in 2022, we have had one program on Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation. So that is in our shortest month, 9 programs, and then in our longest month, I think it's been 10 or 11. And so we will continue in 2023 using each month in the calendar year to focus on a statement of prophecy. Let's continue with sharing what that 2023 calendar is going to be with you. I just shared that we would focus on the Earth Reaped prophecy in 2023 in July. We'll focus on the 7 plagues prophecy, depending on what translation of the Bible you're looking at. Sometimes they're referred to as the 7 vials and sometimes the 7 bowls. So we'll be talking about the 7 plagues prophecy in July of 2023, the purple and scarlet prophecy in August of 2023, the marriage supper prophecy in September. We'll revisit this millennial reign prophecy in October of next year. In November, we'll focus on the Great White Throne Judgment, which is described in the Dead Judged Prophecy. That will be in November of 2023, and we'll end the year. We will end 2023 in the final chapter of the last book of the Bible. That's the book of Revelation, the final chapter of the Bible. Chapter 22 includes the ending of the New Earth prophecy, and the New Earth prophecy is the pinnacle. It's the last statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Super exciting. We'll be talking about it for every program in December of 2023. So please think about how you can fit in this particular program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish, because it will be your opportunity to learn, to understand, and to get a hold of the prophecies that God wants his people to know about as we get closer to the 1,260 days Great Tribulation, which will soon be upon us. And today, we're looking at the Millennial Reign Prophecy, which appears in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. To begin, I want to share with you the words that appear in the introduction to the book of Revelation. The formal introduction to this book begins with verse 9 of chapter 1 and ends with verse 20. Let's hear what John shares with us about the book of Revelation, about himself. How do we get to the point where we're talking about statements of prophecy, which include predictions, consolations, and admonitions about future events? Here's what John says in chapter 1, following the abstract, the movie trailer and words for the entire book of Revelation, the formal introduction appears. Reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, it says, I, John, your brother and companion, sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance, which are in Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos, banished on account of my witnessing to the word of God and the testimony, the proof, the evidence for Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit, wrapped in his power, on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, like the calling of a war trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Write promptly what you see, your vision, in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose was the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet and with a girdle of gold about his breast. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. His feet glowed like burnished bright bronze, as it is refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and from his mouth there came forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full power at midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of the eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Write, therefore, the things you see, what they are, and signify, and what is to take place hereafter. As to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw on my right hand, and the seven lampstands of gold, the seven stars are the seven angels, messengers of the seven assemblies, churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches." End quote. That is our formal introduction to the book of Revelation. It is provided by John the Revelator. He includes some specific words that Jesus Christ shared to him. And most importantly, we learned that he was banished. Before he was killed for the testimony of Jesus Christ, he was banished. And when he was on the Isle of Patmos, on the Lord's day, he heard the voice. Whose voice? The voice of Jesus Christ. How do we know it's Jesus Christ? Because the voice identifies the person with the person communicating, "I am the ever-living one. I am the one who possesses the keys of death and Hades. I am the one who is the first and the last." And so we know that this voice is the voice of Jesus Christ. And in fact, it says that from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And this two-edged sword is one of two weapons that Jesus Christ will use when fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon, described in the marriage supper prophecy, the statement of prophecy that appears immediately before the millennial reign prophecy. So in chapter 19, we are told about Jesus Christ wielding the two-edged sword along with a rod of iron that he will use to subdue and rule the nations. And so now, let us discuss, let us hear, let us consider the millennial reign prophecy. It begins with verse 1 of chapter 20, and it ends with verse 10. As I mentioned earlier, it is preceded by the marriage supper prophecy. Of the 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, many focus on a finite period of time known as the Great Tribulation, In other words, the wrath of Satan, 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years of the wrath of Satan, which is followed by the wrath of God. And ultimately, the Lamb will return as the Lion of Judah. Jesus Christ will return with his second coming. He will put down the kingdoms of man, and he will build the kingdom of God on earth. Kingdoms have governments, and the kingdom of heaven, when it is built here on earth, the kingdom of God. In the Bible, we hear the language kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God referring to what is to come. We know from the book of Isaiah where it says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Who's his? Talking about Jesus Christ, it begins with saying, for unto us a child is born. And then continues with, for unto us a son is given. Who is the son? It's the Son of God and the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Talking about our one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So I am Professor Nicole, I am daughter Nicole, I am friend Nicole, I am cousin Nicole, yet I am one. In the same way, our God is one. In heaven, God existed as a spirit, and he needed a form that would permit him to come on this earth to be your substitute, to be my substitute, so that instead of you experiencing death, instead of me experiencing death, he could be our substitute. Why? Because the soul that sinneth shall die. And we are under the curse, having lost our sonship with Adam and Eve, sinning every person born from the lineage of Adam, was born in the image of Adam instead of the image of God. There wasn't another Son of God until the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years later. And so, when Jesus Christ died, having been a soul that never sinned, that means that his death can substitute for your death and my death. In other words, through the work of the cross, we can get to the Father, we can get to everlasting life. And so in Acts 2:38, there is a description for the current plan for salvation. What are we talking about with that word salvation? We're talking about how do you go from being mortal to immortal? Not science fiction, truth. How do you go from being mortal to being immortal? What does it matter if scientists can tell us how to extend life to 120 years or 150 years or even 900 or 1,000 years. Death is an enemy, whether a person is 1 year old, 10 years old, 100 years old, or 1,000 years old. Death is my enemy, and death is your enemy. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, it says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. God considers death an enemy, and I consider death an enemy. I don't want to see you experiencing death. It's not glorious. It's not triumphant. Fortunately, there are two deaths. There's the first death. That's what happens when the mortal body perishes, because it is in fact corruptible. There's a second death, and that second death is what happens to those who have not transitioned from mortality to immortality. Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will transition from mortality to immortality. What am I talking about? I'm talking about putting on the perfect body for the three in one, which is God's perfect plan for you and perfect plan for me. We are three in one, body, spirit, and soul. And God's perfect plan is for every person to live in a perfected, what does that mean, perfected? That means a body that is perfect, a body that is free of DNA errors, a body that operates in peak performance at all times, a body like the body of Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead and subsequently ascended into heaven. That body is a perfected body. And we are told in the Word of God that God wants to give you, he has a plan to give you, and if you will cooperate, you will receive your perfected, glorified, incorruptible, immortal body. Every person who follows Acts 2:38 in this age is guaranteed a ticket to the new earth. And this millennial reign prophecy tells us about the transition period that occurs between the present earth with its governments of man and the government of Jesus Christ on the present earth prior to the final transition to the perfected earth, which the Bible refers to as the new earth. There's coming a time when we will transition to a new earth. The new earth will have God's new order. You will hear as we get closer to the Great Tribulation, continued discussion about the new world order, which is a counterfeit for the coming order, God's new order that will exist on the new earth. It says in Revelation chapter 21, talking about the new earth, death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. So friend, we're looking forward to God's new order, not the new world order. But what happens when this new world order emerges? It will reach a crescendo. It will reach a crescendo which includes the rebuilding of the third temple of the Jewish people. The third temple will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount in Israel. A one-world government with 10 kings will rule. And there will emerge a singular king inspired by the power and the mind of Satan. He will seek to persecute Israel and Christians in tandem with a false prophet who will perform miracles, counterfeit miracles, miracles which in fact reflect supernatural power, but that supernatural power comes from Satan rather than God. So counterfeit miracles. And after 3.5 years, with the wrath of Satan having reached its full course, the wrath of God will begin. And it will culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. That is the war to end all war. And Jesus Christ will put down the kingdoms of man, and he will erect his government. And so we transition now to finding out what about his government and what about the 1,000 years and what is the role of Satan in that 1,000 years. We're going to get answers to these questions. How will Satan be destroyed? When will Satan be destroyed? Who participates on the earth with Jesus Christ during the first 1,000 years of his kingdom? Will there be mortals on the earth? Will there be immortals on the earth during the millennial reign? These questions are all answered in the millennial reign prophecy. Let's hear the movie trailer in words, and then we will go right into the millennial reign prophecy's full report. So this format is what is used in the book of Revelation for every statement of prophecy, beginning with the seven seals prophecy, and then followed by all of the statements of prophecy. Each one has its own movie trailer and words. In professional writing terms, abstract is used to communicate that we're talking about a movie trailer and words. And then following the movie trailer in words, we have the movie in its entirety. So let's hear that movie trailer in words, which is essentially a snapshot, a summary, highlights from the full report, and then we'll hear the full report. Reading verses 1, 2, and 3 from chapter 20, they include the movie trailer in words for the millennial reign prophecy. John says, quote, "Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand, and he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years. Then he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him, so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time." That's the movie trailer in words. We hear some very interesting things about the millennial reign prophecy. We find out that an angel descends from heaven with two objects in his hand. Those objects are a key and a great chain. And the angel will use the key and the great chain to bring about the confinement of Satan. Satan will be taken from his location, which appears to be the earth, although it's not said specifically, but Satan is taken in his physical form to the abyss, the bottomless pit. Not only is he taken there, but he's chained. He's confined. And to make sure that he's not released, the bottomless pit is closed and sealed. And there's a key that can open it, but the angel has it, not Satan. We learn that the reason for his confinement is so that he can be inhibited from doing what he does. Now, what is it that he does? He seduces the nations of the earth. He leads astray the nations of the earth. He deceives the nations of the earth. And so the only way to make sure that the people of the earth, what people? People in all the nations, people in every country that exists on this present earth, the only way to make sure that people are not being deceived is to confine the deceiver so that he is not able to communicate with those individuals who live on the earth. Now, let us go to the full report. That's the movie trailer in words, but what are the details? So when we go to see a movie, after seeing a movie trailer, we understand that we are going to see scenes from the movie trailer in addition to other scenes. And so as we're watching a movie, we are not confused when we see again scenes that emerge as we're watching the movie, which we have seen before, because we understand that what we saw before was a snapshot. It was a summary, a synopsis, if you will, highlights from the movie in its entirety, presented in a very short form. In the same way, when understanding the geography of the book of Revelation, we need to know where we are in the book. If we're between chapter 5 and verse 5 of chapter 22, we're in a statement of prophecy. So if you are looking at the book of Revelation and you're in any chapter between chapter 5 and 21, or in verses 1 to 5 of 22, you're in a statement of prophecy. First question is, well, what statement of prophecy am I looking at? Once you identify the statement of prophecy that you're looking at, for example, in chapter 20, verse 1, we're looking at the millennial reign prophecy, which spans verses 1 to 10 of chapter 20. The next question is, in the statement of prophecy that is presented, which of two sections are we in? Are we in its movie trailer in words, or are we in the full report, the full movie, if you will? And so we are moving from the movie trailer in words, the abstract, to now looking at the full report of the millennial reign prophecy. It begins with verse 4, and it ends with verse 10. It begins with this: then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. Pause. And so the first thing that we see in the full report is that Jesus Christ will establish his government with the appointment of judges. And that makes sense, right? In a government, you need order and you need judges. And we're told that these judges will be endowed with authority and that their responsibilities will include passing sentences, and they will be entrusted with carrying out the duties of a judge in the government of Jesus Christ. Let's continue in verse 4. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God, and who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. In 7 of the 12 statement of prophecies, there is a primary focus on the Great Tribulation, the 3.5 years that precede the wrath of God, including the Battle of Armageddon. And so when those statements of prophecy end and we get to the government of Jesus Christ on this earth, this present earth, we're told that those who lost their lives in the preceding 3.5 years, so we're talking about the millennial reign, which begins Jesus Christ returning to the earth after he fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, his government begins. And so one of the first things that we're told about this millennial reign is that all of the saints, every person who died in the immediately preceding 3.5 years, because he or she was preaching the word of God, because he or she was giving the testimony of Jesus Christ, because he or she refused to take the mark of the beast and was preaching the word of God, those individuals will live again. Those individuals will live again. Others will live again too. But right now, specifically, God wants us to be aware, because maybe you or someone you know will be one of these individuals at some point. That third temple will be rebuilt, and we know that that's the beginning of the 7-year period that concludes with the wrath of Satan ending. It includes that great tribulation, but it ends with the Battle of Armageddon and the return of Jesus Christ to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. There are those who will lose their lives during that time. But here's the thing, it says, and they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. So how do they live again? That is the resurrection. That is the resurrection, living again, living forevermore, living on this present earth during the millennial reign and beyond. What's the beyond? What's beyond the millennial reign is the new earth, which will exist for the eternities of eternities. And so every person who will experience life, everlasting life, and Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. Let me say the scripture in its entirety. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What kind of life? Everlasting life. Well, what does it mean to have everlasting life? It means that one is a member of the royal race. What's the royal race? Those are the individuals who are the bride of Christ. Those are the individuals who will rule and reign on this present earth and the new earth to come with Jesus Christ. Because his government, the government of Jesus Christ, will exist and endure forever. Now, nations have come and gone. When we look at history, we've learned that nations have come and gone. But there is coming, there's coming a time where we will have the nations under leadership, government that will never go. It will come, and the increase of the government of Jesus Christ will know no end. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, and of the increase of his government and peace, talking about Jesus Christ, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Let's continue with this millennial reign prophecy. We were just told that every person who lost her life or his life during the 3.5-year tribulation period will participate in the marriage of the Lamb. That's the first resurrection. And they will live again for 1,000 years. And so maybe you say, research scientists, what if I'm not one of those 1,000 people? What about me? We're getting to that. We're getting to that. Let's continue looking at the full report of the millennial reign prophecy. We just heard verse 4. Now we're in verse 5 of chapter 20. It says, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. Now, this is very important because there are complexities here. Let's make sure we understand them. It says the remainder of the dead. Remainder refers to the distinction that exists between individuals whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life at that time and individuals whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, there are two resurrections. We're going to hear reference to, and let me read it actually right now. Next it says in verse 5, this is the first resurrection. So there are two resurrections. And what's the first resurrection and what's the second? And I think this verse can be particularly confusing if you have not yet gained a full understanding of this statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So let's make sure that we get all the secrets in it. The first resurrection is the marriage of the Lamb. What's the marriage of the Lamb? That's the rapture. That's when Jesus Christ connects with his bride in a forever, in-person, physical bodies. The physical body of Jesus Christ, the physical body of every person who has died in Christ. So in other words, every disembodied spirit that currently resides in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's for every person who died in Christ. To be absent from the body, this is Nicole speaking, to be absent from the body is to be present in Hades for every person who died outside of Christ. And so every person who has already died and resides in heaven presently, that location, and every person on the earth at the time of the second coming who is in Christ, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will participate in the marriage of the Lamb, which is the first resurrection, sometimes called the rapture. And so talking about this first resurrection, it includes every person who died during the Great Tribulation because he or she witnessed to God, witnessed about God. He or she refused to take the mark of the beast and was beheaded. as it says here, but it also includes every person who experienced death due to natural causes like cancer or old age or a traffic accident. Or, I mean, we can put in any number of things that lead to death, right? So people die for all kinds of reasons. But this first resurrection, it is going to be an amazing thing, but it's not the only resurrection. Now, this is important. You need to know that there's a second resurrection. So it says here in verse 5, it ends with, this is the first resurrection, talking about people being restored to life again. And every person who participates in the first resurrection is restored to everlasting life. But there's a second resurrection. That second resurrection is described in the dead judged prophecy. And very briefly, I want to share that the dead judged prophecy appears in verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20. That second resurrection is restoration to life for every disembodied spirit that is in Hades. So that's every person who died in the Battle of Armageddon who was Team Satan, every person who took the mark of the beast, every person who died of natural causes but never accepted God's free gift, every person who whose name does not appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that second resurrection is for those individuals. They will not be here during the millennial reign. Let's continue with verse 6. It says, blessed, happy to be envied, and holy, spiritually whole, of unimpaired innocence, improved virtue, is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. That's exciting. So it says, each of us who participates in the first resurrection is blessed and to be envied. Now, why? We get an explanation in the next sentence. In verse 6, it says, over them, talking about every person who participates in the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, putting on an incorruptible, immortal body. That's what that is. Now, why are you blessed? Why are you to be envied? Because you have put on your immortal, perfected, incorruptible, never ever going to die body, always performing at peak level body, your free of DNA errors body, free of cancer body, free of mental torment body, free of back pain body, perfect eyesight body. Friend, we ought to get excited about this immortality thing. Now, why are we blessed? Why are we to be envied? It says, over them, in verse 6 of chapter 20, over them, the second death exerts no power. Let me read that again. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. Now, what's the second death? It's defined for us in the book of Revelation. The second death appears 4 times in the Bible. Each time it appears in the book of Revelation, it's defined this way in verse 14 of chapter 20, the lake of fire. Specifically, it says, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And it says in verse 6, over them the second death exerts no power or authority. And so the second death is a battle strategy. The second death is God's strategy for destroying his enemies. We say research scientists prove that. Where is that in Scripture? In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, we're told how God uses the second death to destroy the Antichrist. God uses the second death to destroy the false prophet. And in this millennial reign prophecy, at the end, we're going to hear how God uses the second death to destroy Satan. 1, 2, 3. Antichrist, false prophet, Satan, three enemies of God. Let me go back so we can hear that briefly. How does God use the second death? And again, let's make sure we know what the second death is. It's defined in Revelation 20, verse 14. It says, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And so in verse 20 of chapter 19, we see how God destroyed, before the millennial reign begins, we hear at the Battle of Armageddon how God destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet with this second death. It says in verse 20 of chapter 19, and the beast, talking about the Antichrist, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp, mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Here it is, friend. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And that is their end. The fiery lake that burns with brimstone is a forever and ever experience of eternal damnation. There are only two trajectories for every created person, and I'm talking about persons because it matters to me. What happens to you? Ultimately, every person who ever existed and who exists today on the earth will experience eternal life on the new earth or eternal damnation in the fiery lake. That's the second death. It is a permanent death. It is a forever death. In contrast, you and I can choose eternal life, a forever life in a forever body, an incorruptible body. We say, how do I do that? Well, you've got to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life has a ticket, has a guaranteed ticket to the new earth, a guaranteed ticket to the new earth, a guaranteed appointment with Dr. Jesus. And why am I saying Dr. Jesus? What doctor can actually cure you? Think about it. The real crisis that I face, the real crisis that you face is death. But Jesus Christ has the keys to death. And he has unlocked the door that will allow you and allow me to transition from a corrupted mortal body to a perfected, incorruptible, immortal body. And further, that new body, that immortal body, will allow you to not only live during the millennial reign that we're talking about, the 1,000 years, the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth, it will also permit you to live, most importantly, in my opinion, forever and ever on the new earth to come in the eternities of eternities. Let's continue. in the millennial reign prophecy, picking up with the next verse. But let me pause just for a second. I want to say something very important. So you might be thinking, what will I do? What will I do during the millennial reign? And this full report has a lot of information, but it's also very brief. There are questions that are unanswered. Yet the questions that are answered are very important. Specifically, at the end of verse 6, we also heard about the activities of individuals who will be here, those of us who participate in the first resurrection. What will we be doing for 1,000 years? Number one, it says in verse 6, we'll be ministers of God. And number two, we'll rule along with him 1,000 years. So what does that mean to minister? There will actually be mortals and immortals. And so you might recall in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ went to the house of Simon Peter, and his mother-in-law was sick. And so Jesus did what he does. Well, what does he do? He heals people. He healed her. And then the Bible reports that after he ministered to her, and what was his ministry? The healing ministry. He healed her. Then she arose and ministered to him. And what was her ministry? She cooked for him, it says. And so we will be serving. We will be serving each other. On the new earth, people will have different roles in ministry, but we will be ministering to each other, giving service in the kingdom during the millennial reign. It also says we shall rule along with him 1,000 years. When you think about where you live, there are persons endowed with authority to maintain order. We need order. So, for example, where I live, we have a city council, and then we have a county executive, and we have a governor, and further in the United – oh, let me back up. We have two senators, and then also there's a president. Well, during the millennial reign, the nations will exist, and they will need rulers. Today, we elect individuals. Maybe the elections are fair. Maybe they aren't fair. Maybe it depends on which election we're talking about. Friend, there's coming a day where we will have a government that is righteous, a government in the kingdom of Jesus and of its increase and peace, there shall be no end. And so you wonder, I wonder, how much longer until we're free from war? And in fact, there will never, ever be a war again after the Battle of Armageddon. It is the war to end all wars. So that day is coming. And during the millennial reign, for the most part, with the exception of what's going to happen at the very end, which we'll hear very shortly, it is a period of peace, but it's a transition period, as we'll hear very shortly. But talking about specifically you, what will you be doing during the millennial reign? It says they shall rule along with him 1,000 years, be ministers of God and rule along with him. And so there will be a need for mayors, specifically, will the role of mayor exist? I don't know. But I know that the book of Revelation tells us that the nations will continue and that the government of Jesus Christ, that language government is used in Isaiah chapter 9. The government will be upon his shoulders when? With his second coming, when he returns as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He came first as the lamb. He comes next as the Lion of the tribe of Judah for the purposes of establishing his government on the earth. What kind of government is it going to be? It's going to be a righteous government, an orderly government, a government where peace exists. And we're told that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So there will be continued peace in his government. That's something to be excited about. That's something to look forward to. And so there will be those appointed to leadership positions in his government in the nations. So the nations will be permitted to continue. We're told in the purple and scarlet prophecy about one specific nation that will not be permitted to continue. But we're told in the New Earth prophecy that the nations, with an S, will exist on the New Earth. And they will also exist during the millennial reign. And there will be individuals. What kinds of individuals? The right ones. You know, God is omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. God's omnipotent, all-power, and omnipresent everywhere, in all, at all places. But focusing on his omniscience, there are talents that exist within you that only God knows about. Under his leadership and authority, individuals will be appointed to appropriate positions. And so you can guess and imagine what your role or roles will be. But for sure, God knows what's inside of you, what you're capable of, what you were created to do on this present earth during the millennial reign and on the new earth to come. So that is something to look forward to. You're not done. You haven't even gotten started yet. You don't even have your forever body yet. Yesterday, Serena Williams talked about going to Serena 2.0. Friend, we're talking about going to the version of you that's God's perfect plan. That's the version of you that allows you to be in a perfect body, in perfect health, physical health, perfect physical health, and perfect mental health forever and ever with every other person. Now, God wants every person to be a member of the royal race, but it says that each of us in the Bible, we're told each of us has to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Some choose to accept God's plan for salvation. They follow it. And some choose to reject it. But imagine every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in a peak performance body, the perfected, glorified body, at the same time on this present earth during the millennial reign and on the new earth. So who does that include? Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, Ruth, also your grandmother maybe, your grandfather, your late husband, your late wife, your cousin, your great, 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 great uncle or aunt. We're all going to be here. Now, it says that broad is, I'm talking about it meaning the Bible, broad is the path to destruction and narrow the gate. Narrow the gate, narrow the path. I want to get that scripture exactly right. Let me look that up so I can say it exactly. My point is, friend, I'm sharing a lot with this millennial reign prophecy, but the main thing is make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure that you have looked at the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, and that you have followed it. The only way to get your sins remitted, what does that mean, remitted? paid for. The only way is through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Every person who was baptized by John, they were baptized for repentance, but they were not baptized for the remission of their sins. So what do we have to do? Repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. So if repentance was enough, why were they baptized again? Why? Surely they had many things to do. John wasn't offended by that. He said that he would decrease so that Jesus would increase. Friend, they were baptized again. That was just a stopgap measure. It's not enough to repent of our sins. That's important. It's necessary. It's valuable. But that sin debt must be paid. Otherwise, we don't qualify. We don't qualify for salvation unless our sin debt is paid for. Well, how's your sin debt paid for? Well, it says in Acts, it's paid for through baptism, not in the name of Nicole, not in the name of the Apostle John, not in the name of, put in anyone's name there. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The everlasting Father, the mighty God, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. But what's his name? That's who he is, but what's his name? His name is Jesus Christ. And that was a secret until it was revealed. And so we must have remission, payment for that sin debt. Let us continue with this millennial reign prophecy. I was off on a tangent. I believe that was an important one. Let's continue in the millennial reign prophecy. Let's hear verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation say, "And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his place of confinement, and he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. Their number is like the sand of the sea." End quote. So we're not confused when we hear about Satan being released from his place of confinement after 1,000 years. We heard that a few verses ago, but now that we're in the full report, the movie, if you will, we understand that we're seeing it again, because when we saw it before in verse 3, in verses 2 and 3, when we saw that 1,000 years discussed before, that was just the movie trailer and words, and now we're in the full report, the full movie, if you will. And so we've come to the point in the full report we're at that point. So we have moved from talking about what are we doing for 1,000 years, talking about the bride of Christ specifically, being ministers of God, ruling and reigning with God for 1,000 years, then what happens at the end? So at the end, we hear in verses 7 and 8, in the full report of the millennial reign prophecy, Satan is released from his place of confinement. We know that place of confinement is the abyss, and we're told specifically what he does. He deceives the nations that are on the earth at that time. He seduces them. He leads them astray. And specifically, he's mustering them for war. Now, you heard me say earlier that the Battle of Armageddon is the war to end all wars. And in fact, it is. Every prophecy in the book of Revelation is true and sure to come to pass. So if it's the war to end all wars, how is it that Satan is mustering? He is mustering people, what people, the mortals that exist during the millennial reign at that time, there will be those on the earth who are not buying and selling and who do not take the mark of the beast, yet they have not followed God's plan for salvation, so they will not qualify and will fail to participate in the first resurrection. Now, what does that mean? It means they're in a mortal body. That's what it means. Now, there's speculation that there will be other groups of mortals on the earth at that time. I can't say from the book of Revelation whether that is true or isn't true, but for sure, we know that there will be mortals on the earth. And they will be deceived by Satan, and there will be a lot of them. They will come from all the nations. How many? It says their number is like the sand of the sea. So if we went out to count the sands of the sea, we'd get to some hundreds and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, at least some millions, maybe more. So we don't know how many, but there are many. And they believe they've been deceived. They believe that they're about to fight a war. So in the same way that Satan inspires through the Antichrist people to come and fight the battle of Armageddon in Israel, they think they're going to take out Israel forever and ever. And in fact, they are going to their destruction. They're going to their first death. The troops of the one world government will die at the battle of Armageddon. They will die at the hands of Jesus Christ, and those fighting along with him, the troops of heaven, will fight the troops of the one world government and the troops of heaven under the leadership and authority of Jesus Christ will prevail. And here, 1,000 years later, incredibly, in the same way that mortals, some of them rejected Jesus Christ after his first coming again. There will be those mortals who reject Jesus Christ after his second coming, despite him fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon, despite him putting down the kingdoms of man and establishing his own government. Satan will say something like this: we need to take back this earth. We need to get rid of Jesus and the Christians. We need to turn this earth into what we want it to be. And people who hate the truth, people who want to live however they want to live, they don't want to follow the ways of God. They want to stay in sin, remain in the dark. They will believe Satan, and they will follow him, believing that they will fight a war for rulership of the earth. But in fact, it's a lie. They are not going to fight a war. They are going to the first death. Let's hear what it says in verse 9. Verse 9 of chapter 20 in the book of Revelation says, and they, talking about all of these people, their number like the sand of the sea, they're going to fight what they believe is going to be a war, it says, and they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city. That's Jerusalem. But here's what happens to them, friend. Fire descended from heaven and consumed them. The Antichrist will give a false miracle. Fire will descend from heaven. And the false prophet. The false prophet will cause fire to descend from heaven And that miracle, a counterfeit miracle. Why is it counterfeit? It's inspired by the power of Satan, not the power of God. Why does he perform that particular miracle? Because Satan is a fraud and a copycat, and he wants God's glory for his own. And so he inspires the false prophet to do that, knowing that the real miracle is when fire falls from heaven and it consumes the enemies of God. The end of verse 9 says, but fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Boom, that's it. That's it. There's no war. There's no hand-to-hand combat. There are no complex strategies. They're all there in one location, mustered for war, but it's a total lie. There's not going to be any war at all. They're actually going to their death. Satan knows it, but he doesn't care because he's a deceiver and he's a liar, and he wants to take as many of God's children with him to eternal damnation because he knows that's where he's going. Let's hear how Satan is destroyed forever and ever. In verse 10, the final verse in the millennial reign prophecy, verse 10 of chapter 20, this is the end of the millennial reign. What happens? It says, then the devil who had led them astray, talking about the mortals who will exist on the earth during the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ, it says, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake, a burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever, through the ages of the ages. The enemies of God destroyed. 1, 2, 3. Number 3 right here. So what's the second death? We learned in verse 14 of chapter 20. That's the lake of fire. And we see in verse 10 that the devil experiences destruction with God's strategy. God's strategy for destroying every evil thing and person is the second death. Satan experiences the second death at the hands of Jesus Christ at the end of the millennial reign, and that report is provided to us in verse 10 of chapter 20, the last verse of the millennial reign prophecy. Enemies of God destroyed with the second death, 1, 2, 3. Verse 20 of Revelation 19, second death destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet, 1 and 2 down. In verse 10 of chapter 20, the devil is destroyed with the second death, 3 down, 2 to go. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, every person who is Team Satan, every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is restored to life again, but not until these 1,000 years have ended. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? Well, we learned that in the millennial reign prophecy, right? In verse 5 of chapter 20, it said, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. And then in the dead judge prophecy, which begins immediately following the millennial reign prophecy, we see how enemy number 4 and 5, God has 5 enemies. 5 enemies that Jesus Christ will destroy. And when that 5th enemy is destroyed, we transition to the new earth. So we just heard how enemies number 1, 2, and 3 are destroyed. I'm just saying 1, 2, and 3, not in order of significance, but in the order of their destruction. So what about enemy number 4 and 5? Well, in verses 14 and 15, we hear, if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. Well, who would be anyone? The people who have died. Every person whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life will be restored to life again. There's a second resurrection. It's after the 1,000 years. We're told that in verse 5. And then in verse 15, we're told, what about these people who were resurrected? Well, in verse 12, it said, I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne. The books were open. So what are these books? Books that tell about their life, what they did and didn't do. And it says, and the dead were judged, sentenced. And then let's get to the key part. Verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. So every person who is team Satan, every person who has chosen to reject the opportunity to be a son of God and instead elected to become a son of Satan, has the trajectory that ends with eternal damnation. What's that? The second death. And so either a person can become a son of God and have everlasting life, or a person will be a son of Satan and have eternal damnation. So there's eternal life or eternal damnation. Those are the only two trajectories that exist for human beings. How do we know that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible is true. Men wrote the book when they were moved on by God. They didn't think of this. Yes, there are books that were written that were excluded from the Bible. Don't you think that if God wanted a particular book to necessarily be in this current Bible that we use, that he could have them in there? Absolutely. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. All scripture reflects the word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God. And so my point is, don't be deceived thinking that after this life, there's nothing. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do with respect to Jesus Christ, because there's nothing after this life. No, friend. There's eternity coming up in your future. There's eternity coming up in my future. With the end of the millennial reign, there will be the end of chronological time recorded in the manner which we currently record it. So in the beginning, that reflects what? The beginning of time. The beginning of time, as time is measured with respect to the human experience. We are going from the human experience to the experience of what it means when one is a member of the royal race. We are going back to Genesis and beyond. So people say, oh, if I had existed during the time of Adam and Eve, I would have seen the Garden of Eden, and it would have been so beautiful. And we hear so many things. Friend, we're going back to Genesis and beyond. We're going to the new earth. Let us conclude with the words from the new earth prophecy. What are we going to? So when the fifth enemy, I began our discussion with a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, when it says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. Death is the fifth and final enemy of God. And it says before the new earth prophecy in verse 14, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. And you know, because you've heard us say it over and over again today, the lake of fire is the second death. Death itself will be put to death permanently. And that's the fifth and final enemy. There will never, ever be another person who experiences death when this last enemy is destroyed. So I'm looking forward to that day because I hate death. It is ugly. It's undignified. It's humiliating. It's grief-inducing. And so I'm excited about the fact that your God and my God, the creator of this earth, has communicated to us in his word that not only is death an enemy of his, but that he will destroy death. And when death is destroyed, that's noted in the book of Revelation, in the dead judge prophecy, we go to the new earth. Let us in today, hearing the new earth prophecy, which appears in chapters 21 and 22. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished, and there no longer existed any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband. Then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words, saying, 'See, the abode of God is with men, and he will live in camp, tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore. For the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'See, I make all things new.' Also he said, 'Record this, for these sayings are faithful, accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy, and true, genuine.' And he further said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I myself will give water without price. From the foundation springs of the water of life. He who is victorious shall inherit all these things, and I will be God to him, and he shall be my son.'" That is the first seven verses of the New Earth prophecy. So, friend, whatever you do, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, "For every person who is victorious, I will not erase or blot out his name from the Book of Life." Follow Acts 2:38, God's plan for salvation, and you will be victorious. Your name will appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will participate in the first resurrection, putting on your perfected, your glorified, your incorruptible, your forever body, forever operating at peak performance, forever existing, forever being in a perfect physical state, forever having perfect mental health, perfect physical health, and it will allow you to live on the present earth and the new earth to come. Until next time, friend, take care.